The Republican Policy Group says the Convention Center Authority is underperforming in its mission to contribute to Rhode Island's economy. Are they right?
I think if you take any similar size, similarly located and equipped venue or collection of venues, that we're doing a representative job, a good job, a better than average job. So I guess they're wrong. If you're saying that we're not doing a good job, then I think you'd have to tell us what a good job is. By industry standards, by the amount of money that we're generating in direct spend and induced spend and indirect spend, $140 million a year on a $25 million investment, that's a little better than a 5-to-1 ratio. I think that's probably pretty good in the business.
How does the annual tax revenue generated by the Convention Center Authority compare with the annual cost for taxpayers?
Well, the trackable revenues that's in the economic impact study that we just completed is about $10.5 million. About $10.5 million with what we just reported on, which is all of the event activity and attendee spending associated with events held at the Convention Center, the Dunkin' Donuts Center, and the Vets.
How does that $10.5 million annually compare to the annual cost for taxpayers?
Well, the debt service is approximately $23 million, and the cost for additional operating requirements and capital improvements takes that number to about $25.5 million total, of which $22 change is really the mortgage on the original $300 million development.
Joe, taxpayer might be sitting out there and scratching his head and saying, if the annual cost with the debt service is more than the tax revenue, why does this make sense for me as a taxpayer?
Well, you have to understand that we're only talking about the things that we're tracking directly. We're not talking about the cost of right care for the 1,400 people who wouldn't have jobs if the convention center project hadn't been developed and wasn't currently in operation. I think that's a significant number of savings for this state. And again, those are other associated revenues that are related to developments in the market. So I don't think it's that simple. You could say you have 10.5 this year, it cost 25, you lost 15.
Let's go back to the beginning. State taxpayers were obligated in the early 1990s to pay for the Convention Center Authority's debt obligations and other costs. The Republican Policy Group says the cost of the Convention Center project blew up due to what they call lack of oversight.
Is the Republican Policy Group right to say that taxpayers have become something like an ATM for the Rhode Island Convention Center Authority?
The Convention Center project was not built as a direct revenue profit center. The cost of the project to develop what was not particularly lovely real estate at the time turned out to be around $300 million. I think that if you just look at that one fact, that what we have now, the Courtyard, the Hampton, the Hilton, the Masonic Temple becoming the Renaissance Hotel, the Providence Place Mall, the movement of the URI campus to the empty Shepherd's Building, all of those things pivoted off the Convention Center development, the Convention Center project. If you look at things, an ATM, no, but certainly the banker, certainly the mortgage holder.
Over the last 11 years, the Convention Center Authority bought the Dunkin' Donuts Center, where we're talking now, and the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. Did keeping separate in-house management for each of these facilities create an excessive layer of staffing?
Just to clarify, the Convention Center Authority does not own the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. The VETS, as we currently brand it, is managed by the authority on behalf of the state. We use a company called Professional Facilities Management. Those are the people you would know better as PPAC. They are experts at what they do. The company that we use to manage the Dunk is SMG, the same company that manages the convention center garages. There are some economies of scale with SMG running those two properties. We felt that PPAC's area of expertise, particularly in this market, was just too good to pass up. Theoretically, we could have SMG run all three, but we feel that the benefits from PFM and letting SMG do what they do best in these two facilities is a proper structure.
SMG has since hired the separate workers for the convention center, the Dunk, and according to the Republican Policy Group, the Veterans Auditorium. Is that information correct? And if so, what is the public benefit of that?
The characterization of the way that the Convention Center Authority organized originally in terms of management, and they refer to a recent restructuring, which didn't occur. Most of their version of how the management companies were assigned or acquired is inaccurate. I don't know why it's inaccurate, but it is. The Convention Center Authority never directly employed any operational employees, and for the reason that state authorities have a certain and typical compensation pattern. Originally, the authority thought that using a private management structure would be more efficient over time, that it would be less expensive, that it would create fewer obligations for the state, and I think that's proven to be true. So yeah, I think the private management model is appropriate.
Another criticism from the Republican policy group is that the SMG management company has received six-figure incentive payments, even though bookings have been down at some of the venues that form the Convention Center Authority. Are they accurate about that?
In 2010, which is I think the year that's referenced in the report, the complex had more or less a record year, both at the Dunkin' Donuts Center and the Convention Center. SMG was able to earn significant benefits under the contract that was in place at that time. There's what you might call a disconnect there, though, that I don't think in their analysis they understand that the only way to earn the incentives was not only to increase revenue, but you had to maintain your bottom line. So the net dollars still had to be there. You couldn't just earn incentive by generating more dollars. You had to have net dollars, but the contract can't be written for net dollars because it's tax exempt financing. So the net dollar provision was a poison pill. If you didn't perform, you couldn't get paid. We've actually changed those contracts. They have less incentive. They have a longer running life and a slightly higher base fee.
How would you say the venues that make up the Convention Center Authority are doing? How are they doing in terms of booking and attendance? Is there room for improvement? And if so, what is the authority doing to try and do better?
Okay, there's always room for improvement unless you're 100% occupied 100% of the time, and we're not. As an arena, the Dunkin' Donuts Center is basically the best performing property in New England that's not named the TD Garden or the Mohegan Sun Arena. In terms of our competitive set, we're the busiest building with great tenants. I mean, we've got PC, we've got the Providence Bruins, we do all of the Feld properties, we do Ringling Brothers, we do Disney on Ice. The Dunk is a good property doing a very good job. Convention Center market is broken down. We just break it down into three categories. You have gateway cities, that's San Francisco, that's New York. Major markets or national markets, places like Boston and Philadelphia, and we're what's called a regional market. So a regional market is probably on the level of a Columbus or a Cincinnati. In the regional markets, average occupancy of a convention center is 41%. We're at 52%. Our revenues are higher by average than other regional centers. We are basically empty, which word is used quite often in the report, empty. We are actually empty about 30 days a year with 10%, less than 10% of the time. The rest of the year, we are occupied. We're not 100% occupied, which is why you only get 52% occupancy, even though you're open 90% of the time. And Dunk, same thing. The Dunk has about 40% of the time when we have the public here that we're selling tickets, but there's another roughly 25-30% of the time when we're hosting practice or we're doing a changeover. We're moving from ice to basketball or vice versa. These are busy buildings with a lot of use, and I think we're doing a good job.
And as far as there being a sharp difference of opinion on at least some of these issues between yourself and the Republican policy group, is there a next step here?
Well, the only takeaway I have from it is that we are in agreement on one thing. It would be great to do more with less. It would be great to have more money coming in, to be busier, and to be able to do everything that we do more efficiently. And we'll strive for all that. That's what we're here for. Total quality management, constant improvement. That's what it's all about. In this business, part of the difficulty is the competitive set changes. 20 years ago, there was no Mohegan Sun Arena. 20 years ago, there was no Hartford Convention Center. The Boston Convention and Exposition Center was not built back then. We were competing with the Heinz Auditorium. Things are different. In our business, it's harder every day. So we have to be and are working to get better every day.
James McCarville, thank you for sitting down with us.
You're quite welcome, Ian. Thank you.